This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast. And on this sweltering, hot, humid, sleepy day, me and my podcast buddy Dave are going to talk about something relaxing. No hype at all, just something cozy for the summer days. Let's talk about AI.
Oh, and you've just ruined everyone's idea of a cozy ASMR episode where we just gently breathe into the microphones for 20 minutes.
Yeah, no. No. People have to wake up. AI is taking over the world. Although apparently not as fast as everybody thought it would.
Yeah. So this was this conversation was inspired by an article on the Register, a CEO from Kaseya, talking about why AI adoption is apparently below industry expectations. Who set those industry expectations and all that sort of thing is very unclear, but I think they're just saying it because it gets them clicks. But anyway, it's got them clicks and it's got us talking about it. So Jon, tell me, why is everybody just like not adopting AI fast enough? Like what's holding them back from this thing that's so great and so amazing?
Well, according to Kaseya CEO, which I personally disagree with, but let's not go there yet. According to this person, it's the next best greatest thing is being held back by yesterday's next best greatest thing, being data. And more specifically, the fact that data is not governed correctly, if I can kind of paraphrase what they wrote in there. The whole idea being that you have a lot of data and AI should be able to be trained on that data or use that data to do something valuable. But because it's all in silos and yada, 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 all that stuff, it's not being able to be used. And I guess that's not entirely incorrect. One of the biggest problems of having a good AI use case up and running that actually does what it's supposed to do is indeed, how do I get the knowledge, the value of the data, not the data itself, but the knowledge contained in that data, how can I get that in a way that is safe, secure, privacy maintaining, and not enhancing hallucinations towards an AI. This is nothing new, and I actually doubt that that is holding AI back from fulfilling the lofty promises that were given 2-3 years ago.
I mean, you mentioned that this is nothing new. I would argue this is probably a problem as old as computing.
It's why Hadoop was invented.
Anything without data in the computing world is, at least maybe the enterprise tech world, is useless. Like, without the data either to inform what it should do or, the data for it to be able to analyze so it can draw some sort of conclusions, of course it's going to be useless. Moving that sort of slightly aside, why do you think this is? Do you genuinely think that this is actually slow? Like, do you think that organizations are behind, or is this just someone trying to, sell a vision, sound smart, get clicks? I don't know.
Well, any article on the internet is supposed to do that. That's point one of it, definitely. So I'm not going to comment on that one. But whether or not it's going slower than expected all depends on expectations. And in my opinion, the expectations have been set so high. The magic has been sold so big and so great. It's impossible to get into that. I mean, this is what hype cycles do. Everybody says in 3 years' time, we'll have flying cars and cold fusion and quantum computing will work and everything like that. And 3 years later say, it didn't work. Yes, because your predictions were based on happy, joy, good feelings, but no real empirical data, because to be honest, there was no empirical data. You can only predict things based on predictions. That's why predictions, there's a reason most people don't go to astrologers to plan their financial future, I hope. It's predictions. And in this case, I mean, I think over the years we've seen that hype cycles have gone bigger on their messaging. In the beginning, the hype cycles were, there was hype, but it was like, okay, the iPhone coming out, yeah, it was a new thing, it was a new paradigm, it was a new way of working. Yeah, that makes sense. And the promises were reasonably, it's just an iPod with a bit more stuff for phoning. Cool. If you go tailor towards the whole cloud thing, the blockchain thing, I have to say blockchain, otherwise we don't get extra money in the bucket. And now the
we're
whole
in
AI
the bucket
things.
Of big blockchain.
I mean, the promises have been sold that are being sold are getting more and more exaggerated, bloated, and everything is easy and it's also going to happen. Trust us, sign here at the bottom of this contract and give me your credit card number. And I think we're all a bit guilty of that, both the consumers and producers, if that's a word in this context, of this stuff, because as an audience, we've also become accustomed to this stuff. We've so over-advertised at the moment that unless I've seen 23 advertisements saying how amazingly awesome this whatever thing is, I will never believe it's even kind of good. That's just how we've been indoctrinated at this point, and I do consider myself to be ad-aware. But still, yeah, I mean, it's both ends of the spectrum that are doing this little arms race. And that, in the end, will always lead to unfulfilled promises and disappointment. And I think one of our first year episodes, we talked about how to make good business cases. And good business cases means with putting down success criteria and failure criteria. And what marketing never does is put down success and failure criteria, because there is no chance for failure. It would be marketing if they said that it might fail. It has to be successful and great and better than everything else. And yeah, then putting down an article saying that it wasn't as fast as we thought it was. Yeah, duh. That being said, if you just look back 2 years ago, things have changed a lot. For the good or the worse, that's another discussion. Maybe we'll do it today. But things have definitely changed a lot. There's no way you can say that AI has not invaded every part of our lives at this moment, both professionally, privately, educationally, amusement-wise, whatever. It's everywhere these days. So yeah, I really disagree with this person, because I think it went way faster than I thought it would.
Definitely. You basically took the words out of my mouth.
That's what I'm here for.
I think this is... I think what we've seen in a lot of cases, though, is it's widespread, but it's relatively shallow, if that makes sense. Like it's not deeply integrated yet into a lot of things. And to maybe give this person a bit of credit, like maybe that's what they're thinking about and that's what they're talking about. Now, they don't say this in any real meaningful way, so maybe my giving them some sort of bump here is unrequired, but it's the challenge that any new technology has is you've got to integrate it with something for it to be useful and valuable. I think what we've seen so far is a lot of very high level surface kind of uses of AI and less sort of integrated. Now, we're potentially going to get onto talking about sort of agentic AI and the sort of, in fact, we can sort of go on a little bit onto this anyway, which is
maybe not because I want to respond to what you just said.
Okay.
Because you're right, most of the AI applications you've seen are more veneer on top of existing things. But I'm kind of the mind that that is systemic. That is not something that's solvable, because AI is a black box. Nobody understands how the neural networks do what they do. Yes, you understand the mathematics behind it, how to build them and so on. But the decision-making process is still a black box. And that is by design. If it wasn't a black box, then it wouldn't be a neural network. It'll be a simple ML statistical algorithm. And that's not what we're talking about here. And putting something that's a black box into deep into something as a core entity, every time they have tried this, they have to come back from it, because if you get denied your mortgage application, bank can't just say system said no. No, they have to tell you why system says no. So they can't really use AI for that in anything more than a veneer layer of first checks. So AI says no, let's see why AI said no. And that's going to be anything that's, everything touches the legal part at some point. Mm. And as long as AI stays this black box, and again, I think that is inherent and therefore systemically insolvable, it is a huge risk of putting something like this. It's like having your 2-year-old toddler being a CFO. Sure, by pure randomness, it'll make good and bad decisions. But is that something you want to do? And to be fair, as advanced as AI is today, it's not AI. Artificial intelligence does not exist. There is no intelligence there. It's heuristics, it's methods, it's mathematics. So I think the comparison I made with a 2-year-old, not that far off, to be honest. And if I go in for heart surgery, I don't want a 2-year-old operating on me. Even though the older doctor has maybe psychological problems and is addicted to drugs and whatever, I don't know. I'm not saying the alternative is any better, but there is typically just no peace of mind to be gotten from putting something like this in a very core part of pretty much anything, except if it's a little toy that says pew pew from time to time. Am I wrong? Tell me how wrong I am.
I don't know. I think that until, oh dear, so much to unpack. I think if you're looking for the answer of is AI a good fit for this thing or not, I tend to lean on, like, could this be done by, a well-trained intern?
That's not the right question. Mm. You have to add for the same or less money.
Sure.
Because a lot of AI stuff is being put in place, cost reductions. That's the main reason why everything is going AI.
Yeah. I mean, there's sort of a link in the article which talks about LLM based agents actually performing pretty poorly in when Salesforce surveyed their user base and tried it, and I wanted to tell you a little story, which was many years ago Jon predicted that the big next coming trend was chatbots. It didn't quite arrive when he said it would,
but yes,
it definitely has arrived since. And I don't, this probably wasn't, in fact, it almost certainly wasn't an LLM based agent.
No, definitely.
But it definitely was a chatbot. I had a flight that was delayed leaving, which meant I missed my connection. I landed, thank you, Lufthansa. I landed.
You have to thank aircraft now for landing safely.
Yeah.
Things have changed.
Absolutely. So I landed and took my phone out of airplane mode, and there was a message for me saying, like, I took my phone out of flight mode. I went to the Lufthansa app, and there was a message there already for me saying, we know that you've missed your connection. We've rebooked you on this flight, and this is in a chat thing. We've rebooked you on this flight, and hopefully this is okay. And I was like, no, this is not okay. I don't want to fly that late or this route or whatever it was. And I said, okay, here are some other options for you. Mm-hmm. And then I picked one of those other options, and it booked it for me. And it said, like, and your boarding pass is now loaded into the app.
Sounds good.
I have to say, that was a really, really good experience. Not the being late in the first place and delayed and missing my connection. and the ongoing carnage that caused for the rest of my trip, but the chatbot experience from Lufthansa was actually genuinely very good. And I don't think I could have booked it faster through any other method, like going into their website and clicking through and rebooking it that way. Definitely not going through the travel agent that it would, that was it, it was initially booked through. Definitely not. So, you know, while the agent experience may be poor, I think it, to me, it comes back to there are a relatively limited set of available options, mm-hmm. With something like that, and it was able to very, very efficiently get me to an end state that I was happy with, even though I wasn't happy with the initial suggestion that it booked me on. So,
but how confident are you that you got the best solution? Because it gave you a list of potentials, but you didn't go online to check if there were other options. How confident are you that you actually got a good deal?
I think honestly, the experience was so smooth that
you didn't care.
I didn't really care. Like, it still got me out within a window that made sense. It would get me to where I needed to.
Business travel or personal?
Was it business travel?
Business travel. Would you have the same reaction for personal? I'm not judging. I'm just thinking myself. No. How would I react? Would you have the same reaction if it was personal travel? Because I know myself, if I need to fly, which I hate, I spend more time searching for the right flight than the actual trip costs. That's basically Jon in a nutshell.
I don't know. Probably, it might not be different. It might not be that different, honestly. I don't know. I don't think it would be.
I think the right step there was in the that you could say, no, I don't want this. Give me other options. Mm. And one of the things that most chatbots, whether they're LLM-based or not, are going so wrong is they don't give you options. They just comment something. This is what you want. Yes, but I want it slightly different. Yeah, this is what you want. No, I want something like this is what you want. They just keep in this one track mindset. And LLMs are supposed to be, LLM backed chatbots are supposed to be better at this, because again, they are able to understand natural language, and they're not built on a kind of decision tree based on keywords. So that should go better. But I have up until now not had an enjoyable conversation with the chatbot. That being said, I've actually been trained by myself to just, whenever I see a chatbot, click away, and if I can't, just leave altogether.
Yeah.
I think the chatbots from I was going to say the 80s, but it's not that long ago, from the last decade, have put a very big burden, what you call it, technical debt, if you like, on future capability, future success for chatbot-like things. And I was actually surprised to see somebody refer to a ChatGPT-like conversational automated partner as a chatbot, because chatbots have a bad rep. So I thought it weird to just put a bad label on something that's supposed to be new and better and improved. But that being said, as I just try to make another way of saying chatbot, it's a very hard thing to do. It does kind of roll off the tongue. So I guess that's just what I'm going to keep on using, and people have short memories anyway. So who cares? But
yeah,
I'm still very much doubtful about these kind of things. I haven't even talked about agentic AI yet, and we're out of time.
Indeed we are. Well, as Jon said, we have plenty more to say on this topic, but that is all the time we have for today. You can support this podcast by becoming a Patreon. Every contribution really does help. We're no longer on YouTube. Boo-hoo. But you can also still go to roaringelephant.org for a link to our Patreon page and for more information about this podcast. And please send any feedback to podcast@roaringelephant.org. Until next time, my name is Delayed by Lufthansa Dave.
And I'm your friendly chatbot, Jon. And if you didn't like this topic for this episode, then whatever, too late.
and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Goodbye.
See you then.